Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Joe Waldrum. I'll be the liturgist this morning. This is the day the Lord has made. We want to thank all our visitors that have come today. If you're a visitor with us, we're very glad to have you with us. I hope the members of this church will give the visitors a warm and hearty welcome and let them know what Asbury's all about. We ask that each of you fill out the attendance pads at the end of the pews so that we have a record of your attendance. And we have a few announcements. The Asbury Jingle Jubilee will be on Sunday, December the 3rd, between 5 and 6:30 p.m. This will be a time the whole family can gather to enjoy a meal, listen to the kids singing and ringing bells. If you're attending, you're asked to provide a side or a dessert that will feed you and one other family. The church will supply the meat. Please contact Miss Laura if you have any questions. The Charge Conference is coming up on November the 20th. Please make plans to be here at 6 p.m. for this important meeting in the life of our church. The family-to-family boxes are ready for pickup in the back of the Wilson Activity Center. The list of items to place in the box is on the envelope. Also, please remember to place $7 in the envelope to cover the cost of a chicken. The boxes are due back on November the 26th. Please bless someone this season through this ministry. This week, the Faith Family Gathering is going to be very special. We'll celebrate the evening with a family Thanksgiving feast. There will be one menu for all, which is turkey and dressing, cranberry sauce, mashed potatoes and gravy, green beans, rolls and honey. Please make sure you reserve your place by filling out the bulletin insert or calling the church office before Monday at noon. Excuse me, this will be a wonderful gathering. And finally, the Altar Guild will have their annual bake sale next Sunday. Please be prepared to purchase some homemade goodies that you'll swear are made in heaven. look on the back side of the bulletin for all the other things that are happening in Asbury in the upcoming weeks and months. And now I invite you to pass the peace of Christ. I believe Edgar Allan Poe said the tintinnabulation of the bells, bells, bells. They did a great job. Please stand and join me in the call to worship. Trust in the Lord. The Lord God is an everlasting rock. Worship the Lord in holy array. Blessed be God, because he has not rejected our prayer or removed his steadfast love from us. Now, let us sing our hymn of praise, Lead On, O King Eternal, number 580. Now, if you'll remain standing and join me in our affirmation of faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory and judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you. Well, good morning. Y'all were a little more awake. So how was your weekend? Good. I'm glad. Did y'all enjoy the nice weather outside? It was pretty outside, wasn't it? So I have a question for you. In your schools last week, probably last Thursday or Friday, did you have a special ceremony or a special program in your school? No? On Thursday, you and Arthur came to your school. Drew? Okay, you had your fest. Well, the reason why I was asking was, is this weekend, if I asked you what today was, you would say it is
Sunday.
That's the typical answer. Yeah. But this weekend is a special weekend, and today is a special Sunday that we are celebrating in the life of our church. We are celebrating all of our veterans. Do you know what a veteran is? And the reason why I was asking is you may have had a special service or special program at your school honoring all of the people who have helped our country. And so, and I brought a flag. Because what does the flag mean?
The flag represents America.
It does. And what does it mostly represent for us? It represents what? It starts with an F.
Freedom.
Good job. Good job, Lexi. It does. It represents freedom. And we do have freedom, don't we? We have the freedom to go where we want to go. We can go and we have the freedom to do what we want to do. We have the freedom to go and worship where we want to worship. But you know, all of that was for people who went and fought. You know, it was kind of special because this weekend my parents are in town. And my dad's a veteran, and we got to celebrate him yesterday, which was great, because he got to be, people came up to him and said, thank you for your service. So I want you to think about that. I want you to think about as you go every day and the freedom that you have to do what you can do every day, but I also want you to think about those that have paid the price for us to have that freedom. Okay, let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for today, and we thank you for the freedom that we have every day, the freedom to do the things that we need to do. But we also thank you for those who have fought for us to have that freedom. I just ask that you bless all of our veterans, bless for what they have done for us. We ask this all in your Son's holy name we pray. Amen.
We hung up our lars for our captors there required of us arms and our tormentors songs of Zion. sing us one of the songs of Zion. But how can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? On the willows there we hung up a
Amen. I want you to pay attention to the prayer requests that are in the bulletin. Emily Evans, Betty Watt, Charlie Ward Sr., Reverend Wayne Jarvis, Beth Culbertson, Mildred Bradley, Bob McInturf, and there's one addition, Janet Brandt, on the death of her mother. And we ask that you pray for all of our military personnel that are in harm's way today. Let us pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning with thanksgiving in our hearts. We know that you created all things, fashioning them with your very hands. We thank you that your word tells us that we are the only part of your creation that was made in your image. You are spirit, and we are thankful that our spirits are alive this morning through the gift of your Son and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Father, we lift up the First Baptist Church in Sutherland Springs, Texas this morning. We ask that you comfort them in their grief. Please continue to heal them and their city. We don't understand why things like this happens, but you do. We are assured you will bring about good from this tragedy. Dear Lord, we also want to thank you today for veterans, those who have served and those who are serving. It would be impossible to name all the ways veterans have served this great nation. Your word tells us that there is a time for war and a time for peace. Those who serve are ready to defend this great nation, but no one prays harder than the veteran for peace. And this morning, we lift them up to you in their service and ask that you grant their prayers for a peaceful world. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now let us bless our morning offering. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for this church and the faithful servants who are gathered here today, and for those who could not be here today. In all their offerings to this church in service and to these tithes and gifts we are about to receive, we give thanks. Bless the gift and the giver, and we ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I now remain standing and open your hymnals to number 451 for our hymn of meditation, Be Thou My Vision.
Amen. Amen. Please be seated. You have your Bibles with you this morning. If you don't, feel free to grab a pew Bible. I invite you please to turn to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews. We'll be reading out of chapter 11. Be reading verses 1 through 12. I pray that the words of God fall upon your hearts and they find a place in there, that you really hear the Lord speaking to you as I read these words aloud. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith, our ancestors received approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith, Abel offered to God more acceptable sacrifice than Cain's. Through this, he received approval as righteous, God himself giving approval to his gifts. He died, but through his faith he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken so that he did not experience death, and he was not found because God had taken him. For it was attested before he was taken away that he had pleased God. Even without faith, it is impossible to please God, for whoever would approach him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, warned by God about the events yet unseen, respected the warning and built an ark to save his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir to the righteousness that is in accordance with faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place and that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he set out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had prepared. He had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, he received power of procreation, even though he was too old and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven and as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. The word of God for the people of God. Before I get into this morning's message, I'm going to ask, not meaning to embarrass anybody, but if you are a veteran or if you are the spouse of a veteran, because spouses serve as well, would you please stand? Thank you. Thank you so much. It's there's a big tradition in the Walker family, as I know as in each and every one of your families, that it's embarrassing sometimes to be recognized as a veteran or to be told thank you for your service, because it's just in our kind of genetic defect that we serve. The last couple of years, probably like some of you, Cindy and I have really enjoyed watching the TV show America's Got Talent. They've got some amazing people on that show, I'm telling you. Well, what baffles me the most and baffles the judges are those so-called magicians, or the illusionists, as they're called. They appear to do some miraculous things. However, we all know deep down that they're not creating things out of thin air or making things to disappear into thin air. Like in the past, I can't remember what the magician's name was that made the Statue of Liberty appear to just disappear, and of course made that 747 jet airliner disappear as well. We know that can't happen, not in reality, but we sure enjoy seeing those things disappear and appear right before our eyes. At the end of the day, we know it's not real. Even though my Granny Walker, to her grave, swore professional wrestling was real. She did. She thought it was all real. Well, as the saying goes, it's just a lot of smoke and mirrors. Well, I want to talk to you this morning about someone like my Granny Walker, was just sure of some things, but in his humanity was shown to be as flawed as you, as me, as anyone else, Simon Peter. Simon was a strong man, as well as a strong-willed man, and he lived and was from Bethsaida. He was enthusiastic, he was impulsive, and sometimes he was just plain brash. He was a fisherman by trade, and if you read Luke 5:8, you'll see that he was actually in business with the sons of Zebedee, James and John. Well, the brother of Simon Peter was Andrew, and Andrew originally was a disciple and followed John the Baptist, until one day John said, "There comes the Lord." Well, Andrew started following him and had the opportunity on that day to spend the entire day with him and eat and talk with Jesus. Andrew was the one that broke the news to Peter after he saw the Lord and said in John 1:41-42, the first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. Now, Cephas is Aramaic. Peter is Greek. Both translated mean the rock. Well, this rock, as Jesus called him, had a few chips in him. This morning, I would like for us to examine Peter and see how this man, who would be one of the most important people in the life of the early church and in the New Testament church, was still human, even when he had the Lord standing right in front of him. You don't have to answer this question, but have you ever let your ego get in the way? We get all puffed up and think we can overcome anything. Well, if you remember, right after Jesus fed the 5,000 on the shores of the Galilee, he sent the disciples to go ahead in a boat while he withdrew to the mountainside to pray. And he prayed all night. And just before the dawn, Jesus appeared to the disciples while they were still in the boat, and Jesus was walking on the water. We've all heard the story. At first, the disciples were scared. Now, just as a side note here, it doesn't say just a couple of the disciples were scared. It said they all were scared, and they were terrified because they thought it was a ghost. Well, as soon as Jesus told them who he was, Peter, yes, showed his ego. He said, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come out to you on the water." And we all know the rest of the story. He tried, but his humanness got in the way. It was his doubting that caused him to sink. Another emotion Peter had was fear. Fear drove Peter to do some things that he swore he would never do. Remember when boastful, brash Peter said to Jesus after the Last Supper, while they were on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus told him that because of your fear, you will deny even knowing me three times this very night. Peter said that even if he had to die with Jesus, he would never disown him. Well, he did it again. But this time it was his fear that caused him to sink. After Jesus had been crucified, he was dead and buried, all of the disciples, the scriptures tell us, scattered. They scattered. We don't know where they went, but we do know that some of them went back to doing things that they did before they met Jesus. Peter went back into the fishing business with James and John. I'm sure that they all had felt like the last 3 years of their life that they spent with Jesus was wasted, and they probably all felt like failures. Well, Scripture tells us that Jesus appeared to Peter, James, and John standing on the bank and asked them, "Have you caught any fish?" I mean, just like any other good fisherman, "Did you catch any?" And they said, "We've been fishing all night long, hadn't caught a thing." Jesus told them, "Cast your net on the other side of the boat." And when they did, the boat almost sank because the net was so full of fish. One of the brothers realized who it was, looked over at Peter and said, "It is the Lord." Peter, in all of his excitement, grabbed his cloak, his clothing, girded it about him, possibly to keep him from tangling in his feet. He jumped overboard and swam ahead of the boat to Jesus standing on the bank. Jesus met with him. They ate from the catch. Jesus saw something in Peter. He loved him, and he restored Peter even in all of his failures. We read this restoration in the last chapter of the Gospel of John when Jesus told Peter to feed his lambs, care for his sheep, and to feed his sheep. In other words, to be the shepherd that Jesus had taught him to be. Peter was chosen by Jesus to build the church upon. In Matthew 16, 17, Jesus and the disciples were at Caesarea Philippi. They had gotten there and they had visited with the crowds, and Jesus asked them, "Who do the people say I am?" Well, they said, "John the Baptist or Elijah come back to life." But Peter said, "You are the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God." Jesus acknowledged that this did not come from any flesh and blood, that it had only been revealed to him by the Father. Now, scriptures don't say why God the Father singled out Peter for this revelation. Well, what we do know is this is the only one of many instances in Scripture where Peter knew without a shadow of a doubt who Jesus is. But he was still human like you and I, and he fell short. Well, after 6 days of being in Caesarea Philippi, Jesus went up on the mountain outside of the city to pray. He took Peter, James, and John with him. At some point on the mountainside, Jesus was transfigured and showed his glory. Matthew 17, 2 says that his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. All of a sudden, Moses and Elijah appeared beside Jesus and started talking with him. Well, Peter, being Peter, said to the Lord, "I'll build all three of you a shelter. I'll build three shelters." All of a sudden, a bright cloud covered all of them, and the voice of God spoke to them out of the cloud, saying, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." Well, Peter wasn't so bold when that voice came out of the cloud, and Scripture tells us that all three men fell down on the ground and hid their face. They were scared to death. When Jesus came over and touched them and they opened their eyes, they could see nobody but Jesus. I don't know why Jesus continued to elect these three to go with him, but he told them to keep this secret. And it says, Scripture tells us, "Tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead." I'm just wondering, what had they really experienced? I'm sure they were questioning it. But again, if there was any doubt who Jesus is, it should have been gone by now. Especially with Peter, who had it revealed to him by the Spirit of God who Jesus is. And now the three men heard the voice of God telling them who he is. But he was still human, like you and I, and fell short again. One more instance I want to tell you about this morning is after the Last Supper, Scripture tells us that they sang a song and then they all went out to the Garden of Gethsemane. Eight of the disciples stopped, and Jesus took three on with him. And yes, any guesses? Peter, James, and John. He asked them to stop there while he went on ahead, and he asked them to keep watch. Well, they fell asleep. He came back, and he asked them again to watch, but this time he asked them to pray. The third time that Jesus returned, he didn't even wake them at all. Why did he choose these three again over and over? Did he see something in the three that was special? They were the first disciples, as we see in Scripture, that he chose as of the 12. They were the first disciples chosen. They had seen him transfigured in all of his glory on the mountainside, and they had seen him in the garden where Jesus was overwhelmed with sorrow in his humanness. They had seen this. They had seen his glory, and they had seen his power over and over again. So why did the leader of this group, Peter, fail Jesus so many times? Well, short of having Peter here with us this morning, we don't know. Jesus told Peter, though, at one point, "Blessed are you, son of Jonah," when Peter had revealed what the Spirit had told him, that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of the living God. But aren't we just as blessed, if you think about it? Remember, when Jesus responds to Thomas's proclamation, after Thomas sees the risen Lord and puts his hand in the side and feels the nail scars in his hand, Jesus responds to Thomas after his proclamation by saying, "Because you have seen me, you have believed." Blessed are those who have seen and yet have, who have not seen yet have believed. Jesus has just said that you and I are blessed. The Holy Spirit has revealed to us who Jesus really is, just as God, the Holy Spirit, revealed to Peter who Jesus is. Do you see the comparison? We are as blessed by Jesus as if he was standing right here in front of us. So what keeps us believing even though we have not seen? It's that simple word called faith. We read this morning, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. We saw that in Hebrews 1, chapter 11. Do we have that kind of assurance? Can we have that powerful amount of faith? Well, Abraham had the faith that God would fulfill the promise made him years after it was made. We too have had a promise made to us that if we believe that Jesus is the Son of God and he died for our sins and he was raised from the dead, we will have everlasting life. And that is the promise of all promises. That's a promise made by God to you and to me. And I don't think God is going to start breaking his promises after an eternity of millennia past, nor is he going to do so in the eternity of millennia to come. If you're not part of that promise, you don't understand that promise, or if you want to receive that promise, today is the day to make it real. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Our hymn of commitment is hymn number 717, the Battle Hymn of the Republic. I invite you to stand. And if there's anyone here that would like to come forward and pray, the prayer rails are always open. I will be here to pray if you would like for me to pray with you. If you'd like to join this church by whatever means, transfer of letter or your profession in faith, now is the time for you to come forward as we stand and sing hymn number 717.
Thank you.
Well, on the 11th hour, the 11th day of the 11th month, that we celebrated Veterans Day. Thank you, veterans, for what you have done for this country. Thank you all for what you do for this church. It's just to look around this morning and to see the symbols on the windows, the beautiful pipes, that window sitting right up there, right above that cross, that we live in a country like this, that we can come and we can worship just like this and have the freedom to do so. Thank God for that today. Would you please bow your head and receive this blessing? Father, I thank you for this country. Lord, I pray your wisdom upon the leaders of the country. I pray your wisdom on the leaders of this state. And Father, I pray the wisdom that you grant the leaders of this church and all of the committee and all the chairs and all the volunteers, Lord, I ask that you give them a special blessing. Go with us now as we exit this sanctuary. And Father, let us not leave your spirit here. Take that spirit with us to everywhere we go. Smile and shine the light of the Holy Spirit, your holy light, to all we see. In Jesus' name, amen.